I'm Brigitte, and I'm a compulsive eater. I love speaker meetings when I'm not the one speaking, of course. I love speaker meetings because I love listening. For me, it's like listening to a fairy tale. You know, you hear people telling their life, their struggles, their misery, all that, and then it all ends well. It all ends well, and it is my experience. Yeah, I suppose what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. The thing is, there's 63 years of what it was like before and 18 months of what it's like now. So when I tell my story, I tend to keep these proportions and spend way too much time on what it was like before. And because what it was like before, it's always more of the same. I've gone through life doing always the same thing, repeating the same mistakes, never learning, never taking into account what has happened and not doing it again. I was thinking this morning, you know, my life has been really, when I look at it, it could have been such a good life, you know. I have a colorful life in many ways. I've done a lot. I was married twice to mostly good guys. I had two beautiful children in each marriage. I've lived in amazing places. I've had mostly what I wanted for most of my life. I had plenty of money. You know, and the main problem in that life is that I was the one living it, you know, and spoiling everything and never being able to enjoy what was given to me. I suppose the bad part of that life was my childhood, which was not happy. There was violence. My father is still a violent, angry man, deeply unhappy. My mother has a bad case of Al-Anonism, untreated, and my childhood was full of fear, full of yeah, it's mostly fear. When I remember, it's mostly fear and a very a life completely cut from the outside because there was no outside input in our family. We had no friends. We went nowhere. We didn't go on holiday. I just went to school and back home. And really, that was 17 years of it, and just waiting for the next fight and the next trauma, really. So when I started adulthood, I was very scared. I had no idea what life was like, but I had very high expectations, and I embarked on life. And as I said, you know, I was both. I had really issues with the very, very low self-esteem and a massive ego. But you know, I cannot relate to that, I suppose. God, I usually trust God to put words in my mouth. They're not coming. This is an OA meeting, so food. My mother's way of showing her love was through feeding and overfeeding. I was an overweight child. I was not morbidly obese. I just felt fat, and I was fat. I was bullied for it. I was very unhappy in my body. I was different from others in many ways. But I think my issues with food are mostly around the body image, because all my life my weight has gone up and down. Never, I don't think I ever had more than okay, it's pounds here, more than 40 pounds difference between my highest and my lowest weight over my entire life. So it's not much, but in my head, it's I was dieting, and then of course I would lose control and start eating again. And the minute I was 3 pounds up, I might just as well have been 200 pounds up, the way I saw myself. And then I would eat, and then I would stop again and go. But I was always afraid of food. Food has always been my enemy. Whether I was my weight was going up or going down, I should not be eating. If I was dieting, I was still eating too much. I was afraid of preparing food. I remember going food shopping, and because there would be people coming, friends coming for dinner, and suddenly have that blank and panic at the supermarket because I had to deal with food. Food, I've always had that panic around food. Food is bad. And I'm also an alcoholic, and I need to mention that and talk about that because it's so much part of my story. And alcohol is where I went when I wanted to blank, because alcohol works instantly. And I never really got that with food. Food for me was more what I used. It was nearly self-harming. It was my desire to eat and overeat came from self-hatred. When I ate, it was just because I was bad. I hated myself, and I was going to eat just to reinforce how bad I was. If I wanted, I would never, I would not eat to forget about something, or just, oh, let's eat and then I won't think about that. No, I had alcohol for that. That worked much better. Food was more subtle, and that's probably why I've been able to ignore it for so long. I had emotions were strong emotions, good or bad, translated into hunger. I felt, if I had a strong emotion, I would be starving. I would have that massive hole in my stomach that I needed to fill. And I could fill it with anything, really. I just needed that. It was more about quantity than specific foods for me. I could binge on boiled Brussels sprouts, that as long as I got that feeling of being overfull. And so as life went on, my addict mind and all my personal issues went got worse, of course, as they do. And that running away, with alcohol, with food, I also got that with the mental health. And for 15 years, I've been really stable a few years now, but for 15 years I had very serious mental health issues. And I remember letting myself slip down into depression. And although it was a very painful place to be, that was another escape I had. In my toolkit, I would go to hospital most years for a few weeks, a few months sometimes, and I would just be completely cut from the world and full of drugs. And that's just what I wanted. I just wanted to run away. I just wanted to be gone. I wanted not to be myself. I wanted to be nothing, no one, nobody. The alcohol became really bad, and so I joined OAA about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and I did all the work there, and I became sober, and there was still something not quite right. And of course, what it was is I was still in active addiction, the food addiction, but I didn't know about it. I just thought I had no willpower. I just thought I was bad. I didn't know there was something called food addiction, until about 2 years ago, and I discovered AA. And at the time, I went to two or three meetings, and at the time I was on a meal replacement diet, which for me was ideal because I didn't need to go near the food. I would have the occasional binge of what I called free food, you know, vegetable or whatever, that wouldn't make me put on weight. So I thought, oh, wait, it's not for me and I don't need it. And then... Okay, thank you. Then COVID comes in, lockdown, and my meal replacement thing just went out the window. And I started binging like never before. Never before. It was just, it was the whole, and it was the very same as alcohol used to be. I would get up in the morning and say, today I'm not binging, da, da, da. And come 6 o'clock and out came all my alcoholic foods. And I had never been like that. I panicked. I really panicked because, and suddenly the light bulb moment, and that's why my years in AA, you know, suddenly I recognized all the symptoms of addiction, you know, the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And one night it just made sense, you know. And I was so relieved and I panicked as well because I thought, oh, Jesus, yeah. But no, it all made sense. It all made sense. And it was really, you know, and once you know, you cannot unknow. And that's how. And I started OA online and then we're moving into recovery, I suppose. And it took me about 6 weeks to become abstinent, you know. I just couldn't stop. But you know, I got a sponsor and started really listening to others. And now my recovery, I wish I could explain to you what I do every day, you know, what my recovery is, what my patterns were. It's not my story. I'm still struggling with discipline in every way because it's something I've never had. So I don't practice every tool every day. There's some I really struggle with, and these are outreach and writing, because the things have, you know, outreach is isolation has been my friend all my life, so it's really hard. But on the other hand, I know I'm getting recovery. I know it because I look at my life, and my life is just nothing compared to what it was, and particularly the life that's happening up there. I'm a different person, and when I look at how I behaved before, what I thought, what I did, it's just so different, and it's as if this recovery is sinking in me little by little, even without me realizing it, you know. And I have to always look, you know, rather than looking at the old me, would always look at who I want to be, and who I want to be is perfect, and I'm never getting there. So I just look at who I was a month ago or a year ago or 10 days or 10 years ago. And that's where I see the progress, because by default, I'm bad, I'm worthless, I'll never be as good as you, and all these things. And this is very, very slowly giving way to better ways of thinking. My progression in addiction has been very slow, and my progression in recovery is very slow too. I have a very patient, a very loving sponsor who doesn't push me. I mean, I like, even my step work is very slow. I'm beginning step 8, you know, and every step is a big step, you know. And I realize after every step, I feel, you know, really the benefit of that step. And I feel so much better. And it's like I don't want to break that new thing I have after this particular step. So I'm very reluctant to start on the next one, you know, because I'm so afraid it's going to shift everything, you know. So, yeah, it is slow. And I have to accept that. But on the other hand, It is working. I am abstinent. I am, food is, my body has learned. My body was in a constant state of panic and fear of not being fed properly. And my body has learned that it's going to be fed properly enough 3 times a day. So my body has stopped telling me all the time, you know, when's the next one? What are you giving me? And that is such a relief.
A reminder.
Okay. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to eat normally and initially because I never had. So, and my higher power was not stepping foot in my kitchen. I just couldn't hear any voice there telling me this is enough, this is too much. So I handed that over to a nutritionist. So I know this is what I must eat and this is what I eat. And that's so simple. And for the rest, I suppose maybe 4 minutes left to talk about my higher power. That's another struggle I have, you know, because I have all these prejudices, preconceived ideas about religion, God, higher power, all of that. And again, that's very slow. The thunder and lightning and revelation and me making it to the back of the big book, all that, that is not happening. I am of the educational variety of spiritual experience, that's for sure. But it's funny because these last couple of days, suddenly, because I have a problem, a fear of authority, I suppose that's due to childhood experience and all of that. And even saying higher power, I have that feeling of someone watching over me and judging me and all of that. And but I just had that thought that it's a force and it's inside me. And I just need to listen to that part of me, which is good and tells me, you know, my moral compass and tells me what is right and what is wrong. And that part in me that can love myself, that's all new. And this morning I was... it's funny because that's, I was reading in Voices of Recovery exactly what I needed to read, which is so often the case. Those of us who have trouble with the concept of God need only to look within. The solution we learn is always to turn from the outer to the inner. And further, it goes on. When we pause in prayer and meditation, the answers come from seeing with our spiritual eye and listening to the voice of our soul. Could these be visions and whisperings from God? Eventually, we discovered that by living abstinently, we establish or renew an acquaintance with the higher power who was within us all along. And I find that so reassuring and so comforting that wherever I go, I have this force with me, this strength, this power, something looking after me, something I can always tap into, and who speaks also through all of you this morning, what I read, what I see, what I hear, what life brings to me for that day. And acceptance that I am a slow learner and I started late and that's okay. And however far I go, it doesn't matter, even if, you know, that life I have today, if recovery was just for that today, that one day, it would be worth it because it's just amazing. So I will leave it at that. I don't know if I made any sense, but I'm glad to be with you all this morning.